Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your listener questions here on a Wednesday. We've got a great question from the state capital here in Missouri. It's Jefferson City. Tisha asks for advice on a quiet spot in the Magic Kingdom for her husband to work on his doctoral thesis. He has to do some work while on vacation. They're going to be in the Magic Kingdom. Where can he hide out and think for a couple hours to really do some work and get that thesis going? So we're going to talk about that and more on today's show. Don't forget today's episode brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm glancing on my iPhone XS Max. I can't believe it. We're down to 34 days to go until we check into Disney's Port Orleans Riverside Resort pre-Be Our Guest podcast cruise. I am just obsessed right now. I cannot wait to be on this epic vacation. I get excited every time I get a phone call, text message, or post to social media, and you can do the same. You get to customize the colors, the pictures, the font. You can even get audio alerts each and every day, letting you know you're closer, one day closer to your favorite place. Check them out. Great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. A sincere thank you to everybody who continues to use our Amazon affiliate link. It really does help support the show. Costs you nothing extra. You get all those Prime benefits. It's just a win-win for everybody. So bookmark the site on all of your devices. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Use it often and support the show the easiest way possible. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1488 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Thanks so much for checking in here Memorial Day weekend, the kickoff to summer this weekend. Man, I can't wait. Actually, it was a little bit more fun when I was a teacher because you could kick the kids out and know that you're going to the pool, but it's still awesome. I love it. My wife's excited. I can tell you that much. So we are going to have a great time answering your listener questions today. For the first time in forever, what it feels like. We have all three of us here, so we're going to have some fun today. So joining me today.
1 week only.
I know, maybe. Yeah, exactly. Joining me from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. Ricky, what's going on? Welcome back.
Oh, I'm back, and then I'm gone again. It's life.
You'll be back next Friday. Maybe not Wednesday, but Friday. Yeah, we'll make
definitely
it work.
Next Friday. Maybe not Wednesday. Yeah. So it's crazy.
It is. Well, I mean, it's a holiday weekend, so what can you do?
It is.
All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Happy Wednesday, Pam. What's going on?
Happy Wednesday. And I am not this week. Next week. I'm trying to keep my week straight here, but I will be on my way to the media event for Galaxy's Edge opening in the Disneyland, I will say.
So. Your luggage, please.
I know, right?
I'm slow and tight.
I'm so excited. And here's what I want to hear from, because I've been trying not to read anything about Smuggler's Run.
Yes.
But now I'm starting to think about how sick Star Tours makes me.
Uh-oh.
I know, right? Yeah. So I'm trying to... So people have to post here in the comments because I know everyone stays up on this, except for me, who's been trying to avoid information. Am I going to be okay? Is it going to be like Star Tours?
I haven't really said a lot about
it. I know!
That's it! You're going to be one of the first to experience it, and you're going to be able to report back to us if you get motion sick or not.
No, I really don't want that to happen.
Just take some Dramamine beforehand and you'll be fine. No. I think that'll be what you're going to have to do. Or send me in your place. I don't get motion sick on anything except Tower of Terror. So I think I'll be fine. Just send me in your place.
I mean, I'm going to experience it. Let's hope I don't make a fool out of myself. Should I bring my own little
bucket? Yes.
The one thing that I have heard is that if you hurl, it is blue. So
there's gonna be blue and green milk.
There you go. It could be. It'll definitely probably be green. So right. Well, so stand by. We have coverage from Star Wars Galaxy's Edge Media Event in Disneyland coming up soon. So stand by for that. We love
Crazy.
That. All right. You're going to love this one, Ricky. We're heading out to Jefferson City, Missouri for our first question of the day.
I know where that's at.
That's right. Tisha's got a question. She says, hello, Mike. Hello from Missouri State Capitol, Jefferson City. My husband and I are both educators and seasoned Disney travelers. He'll be spending my birthday on June 26th in the Magic Kingdom before heading to my parents' house in Daytona Beach. Is this your question? Because this sounds a lot like a lot of things you do.
What the heck?
There's a lot of parallels in that.
In-laws live in Jefferson City,
basically. I'm saying. You just got back from Daytona Beach.
No.
Anyway, your pseudonym is Tisha. All right. Anyway, so she says, my husband is working on his doctorate in education and needs to remotely log into his doctoral thesis class by computer that evening. For the life of me, I can't think of a quiet spot where he can sit at a table with his computer and be able to focus on his class for an hour to an hour and a half. Any ideas? I applaud his willingness to take me to Disney World for my birthday and still prioritize his class. I love your podcast and listen frequently while walking in the neighborhood. Thank you so much, Tisha. All right, so we got to come up with a quiet place. You got to love somebody working on their doctoral thesis at the Magic Kingdom. This is right. This is creativity, and this is love of your wife. So I love that. Yeah. So I was trying to think. So because you're not going to find a totally like it's a Magic Kingdom. Come on now. But maybe upstairs, Columbia Harbor House, you know, not during a dinner rush. That might be a place. There's also a place behind Sleepy Hollow. They took out the tables when I was down there at the beginning of the month. But that's kind of a quiet spot. But maybe I would just hop on the monorail and go to a resort, I think. I mean, because it wouldn't be that long. Ricky, what do you say to this? Where would you find a quiet spot to do like a class for an hour and a half?
I mean, if it wasn't in the evening, I would say Tom Sawyer Island. That would be the perfect place to go. But unfortunately, it's evening and that will be closed. I was thinking of like, oh God, it won't be quiet though, because you've got music everywhere. I was thinking like that art festival area, like that side street on Main Street USA. I don't know how, like, I don't know if you need like absolute silence, because if that's the case, you're probably not going to get that. Maybe back in, I think they took the tables out of Storybook Circus, out of that like that one area. Like sometimes they have tables back there for like kids to color on and stuff like that. But then sometimes they use that spot for meet and greets for like the holiday parties and stuff like that. So they may have it set up for that too. This is tough. I think if you need like absolute quiet, you should probably do what Mike says and go to like Contemporary or something like that. But
oh, because he's looking for a table. Like there's a lot of places you might be able to sit on the floor for a little bit, like maybe even over by the camera shop where Mickey meets. But, you know, the store there to the right or the that's not even that going to be that quiet. I would just maybe head over to the Contemporary and find a quiet spot, because I know you can find that. And that's a quick monorail or, you know, 10-minute walk away. Pam, what do you say?
So there is that area when you exit Space Mountain that does have some kind of like table, like sort of bar stools that sort of like in a, you know, a sort of area. I don't know if that's where I'd want to be working on something that was important to me. But if in the pinch, if I had to, yes, I would do it there. But I would absolutely agree with you, Mike, and head over to take the monorail over to one of the resorts. There are some good locations where you can get some peace and quiet. And I think each one of them sort of has it. For me, honestly, I could get a lot of work done in the lobby at the Polynesian. Mm-hmm. All that sort of background noise with people walking around sort of fades away. And I just love being there. There are some little table areas, like coffee table areas there in the lobby. And of course, up in the Tambu Lounge during the day is not very busy either. I also could sit out in the quick service location. Like there's an outdoor area and an indoor area there at the Polynesian at Captain Cook's, and if at all of them, but at Captain Cook's and also the one over at the Grand Floridian, I think is a good location. There's some tables way in the back of Gasparilla Grill at the Grand Floridian that I think you'd be pretty by yourself for a long period of time. When they went through the recent rehab of that, they completely made that space bigger. Do you remember how small it was? I think there were like four tables.
Yeah, it's much bigger.
They took away the arcade, so there's places to sit there. But I think, that's a definite location. Oh, and we're forgetting the boat over to Wilderness Lodge, which has some of the most relaxing places in the world. So there are actually places. There are some desks with chairs actually up there. You'll have to take the elevator up to one of the upper floors, but right off the lobby there are some desks with chairs in the tradition of that style of architecture, of course. So yeah, lots of good choices there if you go to a resort, and that's absolutely what I would do.
Yeah, Wilderness Lodge is your winner there. I've done lots of work there, and it is super quiet and is super awesome. And you know, especially if you have headphones, because then you can kind of focus a little bit better.
I know, and now I want to be there. Like, I want to work from Wilderness Lodge every day.
That'd be awesome.
I don't want to work when we're down there this time. I want to have a vacation. It's gonna be fun.
I know, right? So
God bless you, Kathy and Jocelyn. Thank you. All right, next up we have Jonathan, my good buddy on the Lizard. He says, hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. His title of his email is Best Night for the Halloween Party. Our family of five will be headed to the world at the end of September for our non-Run Disney family vacation. I get one of those every year, too. We definitely want to take advantage of Mickey's Halloween party this trip. We have the option of choosing a Sunday night ticket, which is day three of our trip, which is $6 per ticket cheaper, or a Tuesday night ticket, day five of our trip. Are there any advantages related to crowds, experience, etc. in choosing one night over the other? The kids are 8, 6, and 3. Thanks so much. Jonathan is in Charlotte, North Carolina. So we got a Sunday night, which is a little bit cheaper, or a Tuesday night, 2 days later in the trip, which is obviously a little bit more expensive. Both nights are obviously school nights. When is this? He said September, so school will be obviously back in. I don't know, Pam, what do you say? I mean, I don't even know how they determine like why one is more expensive. I guess it's based on popularity, but it's kind of interesting that a Sunday night would be less expensive.
Dart throwing. No.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I'm sure there's some kind of algorithm that's way beyond our pay grade. But what I will say is the main things to be concerned about when you're talking about any party, whether it's Christmas party or Halloween party, usually those first couple in the season and the last few are going to be the most crowded. So that, I think, is the main thing to think about. I think if Disney is actually charging you less to go on a night, they have done some research, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody's back there counting lots of beans.
Valid.
And if you're saving a whole $6 per person, it must be because they're incentivizing you to go on that night. So I would go ahead and trust Disney and be like, sure, I'll go on Sunday. I don't think you're going to have much difference in crowd, though, between those two, as long as they're not the very beginning or the very end.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, especially in September. I think the crowds would be negligible in difference in size on either a Tuesday or a Sunday night.
Right.
I think either one will be just fine. And even if the crowds are a little larger on the Sunday, you probably wouldn't notice it. Or if they were a little larger on the Tuesday, you probably wouldn't notice that either. Yeah. So, very negligible, I think.
And the hidden gem here is if you get the candy earlier, you're snacking on that the rest of your vacation.
That's true.
That's right.
You won't have any to take home. Yeah.
You can say to the kids, no, you don't need that cupcake. Wait till we get back to the room and you can eat that Clark bar.
We have 17 Twix in the room.
That's a Pittsburgh thing.
I know what Clark bars are. They're good. They're not necessarily as good as Butterfingers, but they're good. I like them. So
yeah, but they don't have that annoying better Butterfinger commercial.
That's
true. No one can understand or
figure
out.
That's a valid point. Yeah.
All right. Next question is coming from Zach. Title is Attention, Attention. He says, hey, Mike and BOG Pikuru, I had to put that in the subject line to hopefully grab your attention. Well, you did.
We are
28 days away from our 7-night Alaskan Disney cruise on the Wonder. This is our second Disney cruise, with our first being our honeymoon on the Fantasy. As you can imagine, this is not your typical Bahamian cruise, and we're struggling with what to pack to wear. Any suggestions on items we should definitely bring? In addition, are there any can't-miss things to see while we're there? Thanks ahead of time and love the show and look forward to every episode. Hope to be able to meet y'all during our first Run Disney event this fall at the Wine and Dine Weekend. Thanks, Zach and Madison, Ricky's neighbors over in Dallas, Georgia, 481 miles away from Walt Disney World.
Woo-hoo!
All right. So I thought this was a good one for Ricky. So because, Ricky, you didn't sail to Alaska, but you sailed to Canada.
I did.
And so it's obviously a different type cruise. So give them some packing advice. What do you wish you would have brought, or what worked well for you?
So the weather itself is going to be a little chilly, all things considered. So you probably want to bring pants and long sleeve shirts and hoodies. I think those things will be key for you. We brought gloves and we brought scarves, and those things were also very handy when we went. So you may want to consider those as well. Just look at the temperatures before you leave, and that will really help guide you on what you're going to want to bring with you. There's probably not a lot of humidity, obviously, so it is Alaska. So if it's, you know, says it's, you know, 55 degrees, it's probably a true 55 degrees, and it will probably be very chilly. So just keep that in mind. You know, just pack like you would normally pack for a cool fall day, and you'll be good. Now, nighttime will definitely be cold up on deck because it will be moving. And trust me when I say it gets chilly. So you probably won't be, you know, swimming in the pool during the evening times when the ship's going. You may be in the hot tub, and if you get in the hot tub, you will be like running back to your room, which is definitely something that we did. Disney does often, for those type of sailings, provide like blankets and things like that out on deck. So make sure you just grab one of those and cuddle up in it. Grab some coffee, because that's what we did. We grabbed coffee while we were, you know, sailing on our sea days. And, you know, there were a couple sea days where it was nice to be outside and like just sit. But once, like I said, once the evening hit, that was it. Like everybody went inside, and that was pretty much all she wrote for that case. So yeah, those are kind of my tips.
All right. Good stuff. So Pam, what about Alaskan cruises? What are you hearing about like what not to miss? Because it is a lot different than your typical Caribbean or Bahamian tropical cruise.
It is. And I think that with an Alaska cruise in particular, you're having a veranda cabin can sometimes be more important because you have the ability. I mean, everyone has the ability to go up on deck and see the glaciers and the scenery as you go past. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing like stepping out on your veranda in pajamas, right? And yep. Drinking your morning coffee. They can sort of frown on that if you roll upstairs in your pajamas. But, you know, I mean, just saying. But there's nothing like having that veranda, I think, and being able to enjoy that. And in Alaska, it's the perfect place to do that, especially if you're going up and back. Then, you know, regardless of whatever side of the ship that you're on, you're going to have a great view at least one of those times. So that's something to consider. The other thing really depends on the different locations that you're stopping at, that your cruise happens to be at. But I think for every person, there is something that's going to appeal to them on an Alaska cruise. I know that my mom, one of the times when they went on their Alaska cruise, they actually went into a rainforest. Right? In Alaska, right?
What?
So anyways, there are all kinds of different excursions that you can do, be it, you know, helicoptering or getting up close to the glaciers or fishing excursions or whale watching. Or, I mean, there's just so many different things you can do. There's beautiful, quaint little towns that you'll be at. So look through the excursions really well and find one that works for you. And in addition to the ones that Disney Cruise Line offers, there's also ones offered by other companies. So if you have a travel agent, ask them, you know, if there's another one that you may want to be looking at too, to see if you can find an excursion that meets your needs. But that's the beauty of cruising. You get to do what you want to do. So love
and that. Joanne does say that when she went on her Alaska cruise, it was 75 to 80 degrees. So, I mean, really, I don't, you know, you really need to look at the weather before you actually.
It is. And it's unpredictable. Exactly. It's really unpredictable. So that's how that goes, too.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the next question. It's from Michael. It says, Doctor Services at Walt Disney World. Hey, all, love the podcast. Hearing about all the plans for other travelers and tips for all the new experiences at the parks helps make my commute all the more bearable. My question is a little retrospective, but certainly good information to have on future visits. My wife and I recently traveled to Walt Disney World with our 18-month-old for 5 days. We stayed at the Polynesian, which I always had a great experience at growing up, and we both had an enjoyable experience on a recent big family trip. It was a great trip, but somewhere towards the end of it, our little guy caught what we later found out was the flu. This unfortunately meant that our last night there was spent constantly monitoring his temperature, cool baths, and calls to the pediatrician's line. He thankfully recovered without further issue, but the entire experience was disappointing on Disney's end. As we were scheduled to take our flight out the next morning, we were just focused on making it through the night. The Polynesian indicates that it has doctors on call services, which I took to mean on or near property, come to your room pretty much 24/7. However, neither of the services were much help when I called. The first didn't have any appointments until 8 a.m. the next morning. The second didn't answer and never called me back. Concierge was sympathetic, but could only further recommend an urgent care that had limited night hours and the ER of a nearby hospital. My question is, are these the only or best options for medical treatment if you're on property, or did we miss something? Of course, if things had gotten rough or we were instructed to, we would have gone to the ER. But sometimes you just want a doctor to physically check the patient and put you at ease or tell you what needs to be done. I hope no one ever has a need for this info, but as we found out, the more you know, the better. Keep up the great work, Mike. All right, so I just wanted to address this because, you know, this is a question that nobody plans for. I don't think you really plan for. I mean, I think that it's good to have this in the back of your mind. Like, what if, you know, here's one of the great things I know that we do at the Magic for Less, just to toot the horn a little bit. I think it's kind of nice, is that when you book with the Magic for Less, you get these emails throughout the planning period. You know, hey, it's time to make your ADRs. Here's some great restaurants for characters, for, you know, buffets, for little kids, whatever, you know, and then it talks about fast passes and it talks about, you know, what to pack and stuff like that. But also one of them that we send out is a tip that talks about what to do if you get ill. You know, like the numbers, the phone calls, the phone numbers, where to go, hours, stuff like that, locations. And I think that's vital. You know, when you get those tips, put those, you know, save them as a PDF on your phone or whatever. I mean, it's going to be in your email. Don't delete it. But I think that, you know, it is kind of scary, especially if it's a little guy, like an 18-month-old. I remember when Mallory was that age. I was a freak anytime anything happened. And when you're away from home, it's just unfamiliar territory. I would have gone, this is just me because I'm an over-the-top parent. I would have taken her to the ER, just been like, hey, look, do what you got to do. Find out, is she real, you know, are we good to go? Can we get on an airplane? But I understand, like, you didn't want to do that. But, you know, I think that Disney can only go so far because, you know, they can offer services, but they obviously, they don't have an on-site hospital. Pam, what have you learned from this? Because I know you've had a couple health issues while you're there.
I know, it's funny. And what's funny is I just pulled up the template of that tip that we send to guests.
I think it's one of the most important. I mean, honestly, it's the scariest, but it's also probably could be the one that helps you the most.
I know. And that's the funny thing. Like, we're always, when I first, you know, thought about that tip, I was like, okay, this is information that I don't want anyone ever to have to use.
Yeah.
But worse than having to use it would be like pulling your phone out and like Googling, right? Mm-hmm. We have the information there for you. You're absolutely right. One of them is a doctor's on-call service that is available to people in that area. But I think that when you're traveling, this is one of the reasons why some of our guests get travel insurance, because their health insurance, for one reason or another, doesn't cover things like this when they're out of their particular area, which I didn't really realize. My husband works for a hospital, and we're blessed to have really good health insurance. And these are questions I never even thought of. So in the past, I absolutely have gone to Celebration Hospital, because you go there, they will, you know, you have a doc that's going to be able to look at your situation and give you good advice. And the emergency room is not just for urgent situations. When you're away from home, they absolutely understand that you're traveling and you don't have access to your regular doctor. And so that's something to think about. You're right. The urgent care facilities typically have limited hours. And there's only so long they work. But there is a company called, there is a doc on call service. We have the numbers 407-399-DOCS. And they will come to you. But things like that actually typically tend to be more expensive than just a visit to the ER, where they'll, you know, do things and check you out. So we tend to go to the ER when we have something like that and we're just away from home, because you just have such limited options. You really do.
It's true. I've had to go to the urgent care before as well when I've been down there. Now, granted, I didn't end up going in because when I saw the price, I was like, I'm good. I'm gonna deal with being sick.
Brian was like, well, it's 50-50. You'll make it through. But exactly. That's too expensive, man.
I can I think it's slowing down now. I can manage.
We're going to go get a Band-Aid for that at Walgreens.
Yeah, exactly. I had the flu, but I was still like, you know what? I think I'll survive. So I have done that. Also, I know quite a few insurance companies have like a doctor, you know, on demand type thing. Yeah. On your phone. So I know that, you know, not a lot of us think about using that. But that now that we live in the technological world, that in those kind of instances, that could be something that might help you, because you can get with a doctor almost immediately. And I think that they have hours pretty much 24/7 with those kind of things. So that could potentially be, you know, something as well. See if, you know, see if your insurance has a connection to any one of those doctor on demand type services. And that might be a help for you as well.
For sure. So the health plan that we're with actually had a commercial where the husband was telling the wife to go to the doctor for something. She's like, I don't have time. I have 8 million things I have to do today. And, he hands her the phone and she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, the doctor's right there. Yeah. Like, look at him and tell him what's going on.
Exactly.
This is my husband.
Yes.
He's like, you need to go to the doctor. I'm like, I don't have time. Whatever. He's like, talk to the phone. He's right there. So, anyways, but yeah, there's all kinds of, thankfully, I think all kinds of hospitals and insurance plans are making it easier for us to have access to that. But you're right. When your child's sick, you're panicked. And I think peace of mind is definitely worth something. So consider that.
All right. Next question is from the live chat. Thanks, everybody, for joining us live here on Facebook on the Facebook page for the podcast. We have Mackenzie Brown saying, hey, guys, so happy I'm getting to watch the live show for Halloween Horror Nights. Are the happy original rides open, or is it just the haunted houses? We're going down for Wine and Dine for 6 days. We're going to take one night to do Halloween Horror Nights for my husband, but I'm not the biggest haunted house fan. Ricky, so can you ride the rides too?
So guess what? I'm not a huge haunted house fan either. I've only been in one haunted house in my entire life, and that was last year at the Stranger Things house, and that's because my brother went with me, and he said, there's going to be somebody jumping out there, because he'd been in the house before, and he he knew it. So I'm a big chicken, just like you. But good news for us chickens who want to go to Halloween Horror Nights. The rides are mostly still available. So they have a couple rides that maybe aren't, but the big ones are definitely available for you to ride. And I like going to Halloween Horror Nights just for this, because a lot of times, now granted, last year it was a little busier and we went way closer to Halloween than we normally do. So it was definitely a lot busier. So the wait times were a little higher for those attractions. But usually when I've been before, the attraction wait times are a lot less. There was one time when, you know, my brother and Brian were going around in the house and one of the houses, and I went, it was right by Men in Black, and I rode like Men in Black just repeatedly. So I went back and got in line again. I rode it like 2 or 3 times in a row. So yes, the ride.
Everyone loves that ride.
I love Men in Black.
That was a pretty cool ride. I like that one myself. I got to admit it. It's no E.T., but it's a good ride.
I mean, you got to love Will Smith. So
that's right.
So anyway, you're still going to be able to ride the rides and definitely enjoy those, the scare zones. Just keep your eyes on the scare actors, you know, keep your vigilant on what's going on around you, and you'll be just fine walking through them, I promise.
All righty. Next question from the live chat. It's from Natalie. She says, hey, BOGP crew, looking to take my 3 boys who will be 6 and under. God help you. In late May, early June of 2020 for their first trip to the world. What would be a good resort to stay at? I'm staying at the Beach Club for my first dopey. Thanks, Mike. Would that be a good spot, or should we stay at Art of Animation in a car suite? Having enough space and a great pool is a must. All right, Pam, no pressure, but we're looking for first trip for 3 boys who are 6 and under. Got to blow them out of the water. The pool's important and space. Where are you going?
That's hard. So if the pool is important, you know I'm going to say the Beach Club and the Yacht Club, because it has a fantastic pool. I see the appeal at staying at the Art of Animation, because you do have more space. But I think overall, they're just going to find the pool. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with the pool at Art of Animation. It's a great pool. The Big Blue is a great pool, but it doesn't have a slide. And let's face it, Storm Along Bay is pretty freaking impressive.
It's a mini water park is what it is.
It is. That slide, first of all, goes over the walkway to the from Epcot over to the resort. I mean, it's over top of your head. Outside of the pool area, you get on it. There's sand bottoms. There's lots of little whirlpools. There's a lazy river. All of that thing, I think, makes it, you know, a place that you really want to go to. But I will say all of the deluxe resorts really do have an impressive pool one way or the other. It's just Storm Along Bay really kind of sets itself apart.
But you know what? I loved last year the Polynesian pool. Like, that pool was a lot of fun. The slide was great. It just had this, it had a lot going on. I mean, shoot, and while you're in the pool, you're looking at Cinderella Castle. That was a pretty neat
experience. It has a beautiful view. That's what I mean. Like, all the deluxe resorts have fantastic pools, but, you know, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to choose. That's Storm Along Bay, though.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Boardwalk, it's got a great, like, roller coaster looking slide. That thing's it's long. It's a fun ride, so. Ricky, anything you'd throw in for the little guys? I mean, if you don't want to go deluxe, I mean, of course, I would encourage you to look at French Quarter and Riverside because you're going to get two different pools.
You get the serpent pool there.
Well, also,
who doesn't love going down a slide that looks like a serpent?
Spit you out.
Exactly. Clown. Yeah. That's probably a good option, definitely. I think that's a good one.
What's two different slides that Disney has that, like, spit you out of a mouth? Like the clown?
I don't know, man.
What's that up with? That's a 3028 show, too. Rides that spit you out. Anyway, all right, Mark's got a question here in the live chat. It says Mark from Beaver County for Pam here. So you guys got a Beaver County, Pennsylvania?
Hey, yes, we do. It's very close, actually.
All righty. What's the best plan of attack for Food and Wine Festival in Epcot going in September? Let's all give one solid piece of advice. Ooh. Mine is early in the day, not at night. If you can avoid, I mean, there's a fun with Disney. There's always a fun, like, aspect of it when it's busy and there's lots of energy and all that. But if you get there right as the booths open at 11, you can just breeze through them and really enjoy the festival for how it is. Also during the week. So those are my two tips. Ricky, give another tip for Food and Wine in September.
Definitely consider getting a gift card. I think that's a really good way to manage your money, for those, you know, cause all too often, you know, it's easy to spend it when you've got your, like, Apple Pay or something like that going. I just hit my button and go, doo-doo, okay, yeah. I paid for my food. Yeah,
Disney doesn't like this tip. They don't want you to be like, when you're done, you're done. They're just like, oh, just keep going.
It's a lot easier for me to get my phone out now for those food booths, though, than it is for me to dig into my purse, get my wallet out, and then, you know. So, you know, if I'm looking at staying on budget, I would definitely do one of the gift cards, because then you can wear it around your arm. If you don't want to do that, a Magic Band obviously works, too, but then you're not as, you know, budget conscious for that, too. So, I'm going the budget conscious, so gift card.
Disney has banned you from future events because of what you just said.
They're never going to invite me to anything ever again. Not that they ever invited me in the first place. So,
all right, Pam, what do you got?
So I'm going to say, have an idea of the boost that you want to hit before you get there. Rickety and team do a great job of having
the
menus up on the Mouse for Less. There's photos of a lot of the different foods there. The photos actually really helped me because there's something I'm reading the description. I'm like, oh, I want that. And then I see the picture. I'm like,
I do not want that.
I'm not getting that. And by the same token, there are things that I thought, oh gosh, that doesn't sound very good. And then I see the photo of it. I'm like, oh wait, that actually looks really good. So the photos really helped me. But then I sort of have a plan of attack of, like, what I actually have to get to, because what happens is, you start walking around and you're going one way. Let's say you're starting the Mexico way and you get four lands in, four, you know, countries in. And you're like, I'm full. I'm done. I'm not even going to make it to Canada to get fill in the blank, the maple pound cake thingy.
No, that's for Okay, that was from Flower and Garden, and I have to tell you all, I had that for the first time ever.
So good.
Pam, what took us so long? That no idea. Was amazing.
Oh, no idea. Goodness. It was really good. So.
Why did we not eat that when we were traveling earlier in the year?
I think because we got full. We started in Mexico.
We did. Oh, my goodness.
So anyways, yes. So there's lots of yummy things there. But yeah, absolutely. Get a plan of attack. That's your only hope.
Yes.
All right. Natalie, going back to the previous question, says, thanks, guys. You can get to Epcot and the Magic Kingdom easily from the Polynesian, right? Yes, absolutely. Yep. The Polynesian. Yep. Boom. You're two stops away in the monorail.
Boat or monorail. Yeah,
boat. Yeah. And also just the good news is the Polynesian, you can walk to the TTC, catch that monorail. You only have to take one monorail to Epcot. That's kind of a, you don't have to do the switcheroo. All right, so let's get to the next question, and it is from Tara. Hey, everyone. I use minivans in the past, and they're great, but we're considering trying regular Lyft or Uber next time. I've never used them before. Can they enter the resort areas to pick you up, and where do you pick them up at the parks when you're leaving for the day? Thank you, Tara. Yes, they can pick you up at the resorts. They just usually pick you up kind of, you know, typically like where the Magical Express bus would pick you up or drop you off, like that. If there's like an overhang, like at Riverside or French Quarter or Old Key West, what, you know, it's not where the resort buses go. Like for like at the Contemporary, you go out to where the taxis and stuff drop you off. Yeah. Where the luggage, usually around the luggage service area, is where that'll kind of a general rule to pick them up. Now at the parks, what I do, it's simply, I just ask like a cast member when I'm leaving, you know, hey, where's the Uber and Lyft, you know, place? Because now actually they're putting a signage that says like ride share. Mm-hmm. And they tell you, but like, you know, I don't hit that button to pick me up because I want to make sure the pin's in the right place. But I ask a cast member because really with a lot of the construction going on, this could change, you know, here in the next month, you know, you never know. So I just ask, they point you in the right direction. It's usually one of the old kind of unused bus stalls or something like that. Guys have anything for that? I mean, it's usually how it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about right.
Well, because you're going to hear on Friday, I used a lot of, I met every Uber driver and their cousin. It was scary. Oh, yeah, okay. Goodness. So, yeah, we're going to talk about that on Friday. I finally get to talk about my trip. It's going to be a fun one. I'm telling you, I've been getting so many messages about what?
Yeah,
you haven't talked about your trip yet.
We have been.
I know. Yep. Constantly.
Yeah, I got a few on Instagram, too, from people like, I want to hear about my trip.
I know, seriously.
Okay, I enjoyed listening to Pam's trip since I didn't get to, you know, be on the show that day. So that was fun. So now I can't wait to hear about your vacation and all the fun you had. So.
All right. Okay, we got to get out of here soon, but real quick, Betsy's asking, is Riviera going to have concierge, Pam?
Is Riviera going to have concierge? No, Riviera is not going to have concierge that I've heard. They're just going with regular room categories that are apparent at the deluxe villas. In addition to those different, the tower rooms, the sort of less expensive version of the studios that only accommodate two. But you know that Grand Vecino Tower is going to have concierge. So that's something to think about. They don't actually have a concierge level. They have, I believe, there's a certain number of rooms that can be located throughout the resort. In addition to their suites, are going to have access to concierge. So consider that, because I'm telling you, my beloved Coronado is looking better and better all the time.
That resort is just awesome. It's awesome.
I can't believe. I know, and I'm going to be there when it opens too. So this is a busy year. I'm just saying, there's lots of stuff that needs done. Look, this is my job, people.
I am open to be sent places.
Pam, don't say that. All the teachers in our listening audience, and we have tons of educators in our audience, are like, I'm busy doing report cards and closing out my room, and you're busy staying in the new tower at Coronado's. Easy.
I know.
I can put on a blonde wig and look like Pam Forrester. I'm just saying. Just give me, I'll get a blonde wig. I'll say, yes, I'm Pam Forrester.
I know it is. I will tell you, this is one of the big benefits of it, though, checking out stuff like this. But it's awesome. So, yeah, I will say the Riviera question, getting back to that, not that I've heard. I shouldn't say no, because it's Disney and anything can change at any time. But not that I've heard.
So. All right. And Eric, you know, he reminds me that you can't move the pins on Uber. I know, but that's just adding another variable into the situation. I don't do that. I wait till I get to my desk. It's kind of like one of my rules I have for drive-thrus in North County, St. Louis, is that you always order a number. You don't try to get fancy and say, without, if Mallory wants a taco without lettuce, they're going to screw up my food. Like, that is not going to, she'll get her taco with no lettuce, but then I'll get like a chili cheese burrito without chili or cheese, you know? So like, no, so you don't want to bring in extra variables. I just walk myself there, then I hit the button and I don't mess around. So it's just another rule to live by. All right, okay. So that's going to do it for today's show. We'll be back again on Friday. I'm talking about my offsite stay over at The Bee. It's going to be fun. But today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com. Home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky, I don't know if this is your story you're going with, but I will say, on Monday, I customized my magic bands for my trip. And, you know, we're staying at Riverside before the... I don't know if it was for my annual passes or for the... it was for the resort stay because I got them for Mallory and Paige, and they don't have annual passes yet. I'm upgrading their tickets when we get there. But yeah, I mean, we got cool ones. Mallory got a one that had the castle on it, and I got one that's Spaceship Earth. And Paige and Pam were not home, so we got Paige a villains one. It was like the Disney villains collection.
Oh my gosh, because she's so salty. That's
yeah, I know. We didn't know. I'll let Mallory pick. Get her villains. And then Pam got a really cute one. It was like Minnie Mouse with like bows and polka dots, you know, kind of theme. Cool. So they're really pretty. And then they have like Star Wars ones. They have different solid colors, more colors.
Marvel.
They have Pixar.
They do.
And they even have a Parks collection. So it's a lot of fun. So I don't know if you're going to talk about that, but there you go. I just want to throw that in. So if you want to do that, get over there and do it now. Right now it's only $10. I think they're going to be like $25, but introductory pricing.
Well, that does confuse me because they do say that they're $10. So the free ones are $14.99. So if you're basically subtracting the price of the free one, I would think that they would always be $10 unless it's a more expensive magic band. Like if they have a more expensive magic band on there and then you just subtract the $14.95 or whatever it is, then yeah, you'd end up paying more than the $10. But I assume that most of them will probably be $10. That wasn't what I was going to talk about, but sure, Mike, let's talk about that.
I don't even understand your math. I mean, like, aren't the magic bands not free with your purchase? I mean, like, what are you talking about?
$14? Like, if you get them free normally.
Because I have like 7,000 of these things.
The solid color ones, you get them free. Yeah. But you can buy them in the parks.
Yes.
In the parks, those ones are $14.95, the solid ones.
Yeah.
If you want the premium ones with the design, those are usually $24.95.
Or more sometimes. Yeah,
or more. So you're saving the $14.95. So they're basically discounting the premium magic bands $14.95. So
they're giving you credit.
Right.
They're basically giving you credit for the magic band you would have gotten for free, the plain one.
They're giving you the credit.
I thought that was really generous. I actually did.
Why does Disney have to be so confusing all the time with everything?
No, I'm just saying, like, most magic bands will be the $10 price that you pay for the premium ones. However, if they start offering, like, the limited edition ones, those cost more than $24.95. So what you subtract the $14.95 from the from whatever the price would be.
I just looked at it, said $10. I just saw, here's me. This is how I do Disney. I'll tell you, this is how I do it on my trips too. It said special price, $10. I'm like, sold. Bought four of those suckers. I was in.
It's fine.
Anything that's $10 or under, buy it.
Yeah,
buy it right then.
That's right. Anyway, that wasn't what I was going to talk about, but it is now. So that's fine. Thanks, Mike.
There you go. We did it on Theme Park News Disney Edition. I'm sure there's a story there for you.
So. There is. I've probably written it.
All right. So check it out. VirtualMickey.com, Theme Park News Disney Edition free app for your iOS devices. Don't forget to check us out on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And we've got a great Facebook page at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast and an awesome YouTube channel as well to check out all the madness on YouTube. All right. We're going to be back again on Friday talking about my trip to the Bee and for the Summit Cheerleading Championships and lots of great dining out at Disney Springs. Lots more fun, so stand by for that. But until then, for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.